Gene D. Joanna stands behind his house in Manchester, Connecticut, and explains why it should be the perfect candidate for a solar electric system.
It has a nice south-facing roof. It's a simple roof. There's no obstructions on it.
There's one problem.
But we have a wall of trees.
And they're not even his trees, so he's stuck with them.
We're nice and cool in the summer. But the downside is we just can't do solar.
D. Joannis has a lot of company. Estimates are that about 80% of the homes in Connecticut are not suitable for solar. Many have the same kind of tree problems D. Joannis has. Many have roofs that face the wrong way. Some have obstructions like chimneys, skylights, or dormers. And many are condos or rentals with no way to parcel out who pays what. And that's where the concept of shared solar or shared any kind of clean or renewable energy comes in.
The idea of shared solar, where a number of entities can pool their interests and create larger solar fields and everybody benefits, is inevitable in my view.
That's Representative Jonathan Steinberg of Westport. He's been pushing legislation that would allow exactly that. 10 other states are already doing shared solar projects, including Massachusetts, where there's more than a dozen projects underway. But right now, Connecticut's legislation only calls for 2 pilot projects over the next 3 years, and that doesn't sit well with Steinberg.
I can probably name 10 projects that could be done in the state tomorrow if we had the means to do so.
It also doesn't sit well with Jean Desmay. She chairs the Windham Energy Commission.
Over 55% of the people in Windham are renters, so they won't be getting solar panels, and their landlords have very little incentive to put them in.
But she says they still pay all the fees that go into the state's programs that provide incentives to homeowners who can install solar.
It seems to me this is an issue of economic equality and economic justice.
Shared solar is the answer, she says.
There are other states doing this. This is not anything that's unique to Connecticut. It's been tried. It works. Let's do it.
A problem is no two states do it the same way, so it's not as if there's a template ready to go. To make the economics work, the companies that do this sort of thing generally need more than 150 homes, and that means a lot of space for thousands of solar panels. It's a kind of virtual solar, but there are a ton of issues related to how charges are determined, how the utilities are compensated for use of their transmission lines, poles, and other services, and whether the shared operations would essentially become mini utilities. Because of that, the Department of Energy and Environmental Protection is taking a go-slow approach, and the utilities worry about who pays. Mitch Gross of Connecticut Light and Power offered a statement.
We're particularly concerned that our entire customer base, including senior and low-income customers, would end up unfairly subsidizing those who choose the solar subscription option. So we believe that before this proposed legislation comes up for consideration, the issue of cost impacts to all customers must be addressed.
But Manchester homeowner D. Joanna sees the economics differently.
It's better than a 10% return on your investment. I mean, it fixes your electric cost for the next 30 years. When you understand the economics, you want to do it.
Negotiations are continuing on the language in the legislation. The Energy Committee co-chairs say they prefer more than just a 2-town pilot program, but passing some kind of shared solar program is still the priority. Jan Ellen Spiegel, WSHU News.